You're listening to Trailer Pod Boys, the podcast dedicated entirely to the Canadian TV series Trailer Park Boys.
If that doesn't work, nothing will.
I think that's a true statement.
And now, here are your hosts for this episode of Trailer Pod Boys, Matt, David, and Quint.
Welcome to Trailer Pod Boys, episode 67. We are talking about season 8, episode 6, Friends with the Benedicts, again directed by Ron Murphy. I am Matt. Joining me this week once again are David.
Hello.
And Quint.
Hey, how you doing?
And what are we drinking? I'll go ahead because it's a continuation of last episode and it will continue to be this until October is done. It is, well, maybe not Sam Adams Oktoberfest, but it is the only Oktoberfest I have in the fridge, so it's that again. So there's my boring contribution to tonight's drinking.
I switched up to red wine at this point, and this is it's from a winery called Havens, and it's a Petit Sirah. I don't know anything about these guys. Their wine is good. Their Petit Sirah is good anyway. I recently joined this thing called WTSO, which is Wine Till Sold Out, and it's basically they have blocks of wine and they sell them one at a time, and once it's sold out they go to the next block, and then once it's sold out they go to the next. So I've been spending way too much money on that. And
I was going to say, that's all you think could get out of control real quick.
Well, and the thing is, you got to get the free shipping, you buy 4 bottles, right? Or a certain amount of bottles per sale, usually about 4. And this one was really good. I think I'm out of it now. I might have one bottle left, but it's very inky. Has a lot of pepper notes, leathers, earthy sort of stuff, so right up my alley.
Nice. Dave?
And so I had worked on a project with Chivas Regal the other week, and I realized I had never tried Chivas Regal. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know exactly what it was, right? Like, I figured it was a whiskey. I didn't know what kind of whiskey. I thought maybe Canadian, whatever. Turns out it's a blended scotch, right?
Wow.
And they were serving it at the event. I didn't have any because I was working. I was like, oh, maybe I should try it, see if it's any good. So I was at Costco, and I was looking around. I didn't see any Chivas, but I found, what do they sell at Costco? Kirkland brand blended scotch. So like, ah, shit, that's cheap. Let me try that. I haven't had a lot of blended scotch. I've, you know, had some single malts, and it is, as you would expect, it's not as strong, right? It doesn't have as much character. It doesn't have the smokiness. It doesn't have the bite of a good.
Sure. You know, the whole point of a blended scotch is to give you a really rounded out feeling. Like, it's a, you know, single malts are really strong on one, weak in other areas. Right.
So that's exactly what it is. It's very rounded. It's very approachable. It's very drinkable. It's just a nice kind of everyday easygoing scotch. There's nothing strong about it in any one direction. Nothing to really recommend it other than its price, but it's fine.
All right.
And, you know, cool. It's a scotch. It's not bad.
Yeah. To me, Chivas is overrated, but I've had some of them. Obviously, I haven't had any of their really high-end stuff because, you know, any of these distilleries has their lower-end, higher-end stuff, but I haven't had any of the higher-end stuff. The low-end stuff did not impress.
Yeah, they were actually serving at the end of the event, they served a glass of 25-year-old Chivas to everybody, all the guests. I was like, oh, that's
pretty good. I would have signed up for that. Yeah.
Yeah, right? And this Kirkland stuff doesn't have a year on it, so I guess they're just blending different years of stuff.
Yeah, usually it's probably 8 and 10s. If they're not mentioning anything about years, it's usually 8 to 10s.
Okay. So that's what I'm drinking.
All right.
Yummy.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, well, on to the episode. And to start off, I got the opening clip to start us off with, and no notes before that, so I'm just going to play it and see where it goes.
Jesus H. Christ, it looks like you're infested to a Wayne Newton. Sorry, little buddy. You're going to have to just hang in there until I can get back with the proper crab shampoo.
you dirty little pinchy bastards.
Crabs are the dirtiest little crustaceous fucking cock inhabitants on the face of the planet. And there's no way I'm letting them get on my bird. They latch right onto your package with their dirty little pinchy cock claws. They start fucking hatching eggs. It's terrifying. I went online and I calculated I need about 22 bottles of crab shampoo to get rid of the infestation on my titties. 22 fucking bottles. Do you know how embarrassing that's going to be to ask for 22 bottles of crab shampoo? I'll tell you, very embarrassing.
All right, 22 bottles of crab shampoo.
Wayne Newton, man.
Wayne Newton, yep.
Is that another new kiddie name, or have we heard that one before?
I've not heard that one before. I mean, I've heard Wayne Newton, obviously, but not as a kiddie name.
I've not heard that one either.
Yep. So, yes, this is not the whole opening scene, because it continues on of him riding his bike to the store, mm-hmm. which does ask the question, where does go-kart go?
Oh, yeah. Oh, didn't we crash that thing?
Probably. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember last time we saw it.
It was a casualty of years past.
Yeah.
In his, well, I say his hazmat suit, but it's like a painter's suit.
God, I love
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love his hazmat suit. It is so awesome. Yep. And the thing is, his tool belt has like a roll of duct tape on it. And
yep,
like,
yeah.
Like, what do you need this stuff for hazmat?
You got to duct tape the hands and feet, man.
Okay. Yeah.
I saw Outbreak.
Oh, shit. Anyway, it was, yeah. Anytime, again, props and costuming, art department, good stuff.
Yep. Yep. So he walks up to the counter for help. We have a whole, I didn't grab this clip, but we have a scene of where you kind of see it coming, but it's still kind of funny because it embarrasses Bubbles, but he asks for crab shampoo. And of course the guy has to get on the store mic.
Right.
And announce to the entire store that this gentleman at the counter is looking for crab shampoo and calls to the attendant or the pharmacist. Yes. That can actually get the shampoo. And it's this incredibly attractive blonde.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. To which, yes.
Which,
yes.
I mean, it has that is the thing that makes that situation the funniest it can be.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and I mean, and Bubbles is yeah. Bubbles around women is always just a fun thing. And this was just like, yep. Nope. Out of here.
Yep, he runs right the hell out.
Yep.
Runs right out, and we go right into the credits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So now, back after the credits, Drunk Jim comes stumbling into the Dirty Dancer, the recently fumigated Dirty Dancer, I should say.
The talk about crabs just laces through this whole episode.
It does, yeah. Almost to the point where, like, every time I have an itch, I get worried.
Yeah. Whoa, really? Why?
Well, it depends where the itch is.
Yeah, but why would you be... Is Christy listening to this episode?
She doesn't listen to any of these episodes.
That's why you're being honest and upfront.
Oh, no, right. No. That's not what I meant. Jeez. I mean, I go to the gym.
All right.
No, I really do. Not that I'm saying I've ever worried about crabs at the gym now, but now I will. Now, every time I itch at the gym, I'll freaking wonder what the hell's going on. Great. I'm glad I had that idea.
You're welcome.
Easiest way out of that is just not go to the gym.
I heartily concur with that.
Problem solved. All right. Jim was there to tell Julian about the 1% down payment he took / was forced on by Sam and Cyrus.
In my notes, I've started calling Sam and Cyrus the idiot twins.
The idiot twins? Yeah. I was going to say Samrus.
Oh, Samrus.
I was just trying to think of some combination name for those guys.
Jim hints that it's not necessarily about the money. If Julian wants to try to match the offer, the opening offer, that he could probably come up with something that Jim would take in lieu of the cash payment.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, this is all well and good, but he's still under threat of violence to take Cyrus and Sam's money.
You know, that is true.
I think Jim just used this to... I mean, the threat from Cyrus was like, you know what, I'll take your money, fuck you guys anyway. I think this is just Jim manipulating every side of this whole situation the best that he possibly can.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mistook what you were saying. I thought you were saying that he should be worried about Cyrus and...
Well, I mean, he should be, but I mean, even if he was worried about Cyrus and Sam... Yeah, he's still playing Julian.
Right. Even if
may have no intention of honoring whatever Julian gives him.
Right. My point was just like, even if he took Cyrus and Sam's money in good faith and he was going on to Sam and Cyrus's side, he would be doing the exact same shit and just getting whatever he could out of the boys anyways.
Okay.
That could be. Yeah. I can't argue that. That's probably true. In fact, I think you're right. But outside of that, we go to the ice rink trailer. Trinity is there talking to Ricky. Lucy storms in to take Trinity home, all because of the whole crab infestation. But Ricky does explain and shows that he does not have crabs. Oh, you gotta love that.
Oh, God, yeah.
But meanwhile, but beside all that, as good as that is, the best part of this clip, of this scene, is that the team is practicing. And when does Ricky step in to actually teach them something is in this clip here.
Oh, good.
Darren, what the hell are you guys doing, okay? You don't do it like that. You got to try to tie up his jersey with one hand like this, hit him in the face a couple times, okay? After that, try to pull a jersey right up over his head and feed him right in the fucking head with uppercuts. Don't take him to the ground. That's what pussies do. Try it again.
Now, should I be surprised that the only time he steps in is when they're fighting and they're, according to him, doing it wrong?
Well, I mean, it's not like they have any room to skate anywhere.
That is true, yeah.
You know, honestly, I was surprised at how much skating room they actually ended up having in that trailer. But,
I mean, Jesus, they'd be calling icing every shot. Come on.
And you don't even know what icing is. That's the most precious part of that sentence is that you don't have any idea what icing is.
Vague clue of what icing is. But not, you know, it's like you get it past a couple of the lines and then it's icing.
Or as my wife calls it to this day, sticking. I don't know why she says it. And she also calls a wrap around a reach around. And I, no matter how many times I explain to her and try to demonstrate what the difference is, she just doesn't get it.
I love the demonstrate part.
Well, the thing is like if you're actually demonstrating it and she still doesn't get it, you're doing it wrong, Matt.
That's probably true. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be in a room, right?
Usually.
Okay. Someone should be.
Someone should be.
Yes.
And I love it. It's just like Lucy does a complete 180 when she finds us.
Yeah.
And to be fair, this is one of the few times that Ricky deserves it because he was the responsible party that night.
That's
he
true.
He was the one who had nothing to do with that shitstorm. At all.
Nope.
And he gets some just desserts in this one. I really think that, you know, he got what was coming to him. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the good guy here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, you know, Trinity gets to stay and Lucy just says she might be back later.
So now about the ice rink, it takes what, 32 degrees for ice to water to freeze?
Well, that's the freezing point of water, or it's technically, it's the melting point, the freezing point, but you know, you got to set your freezer like a little bit below that.
Yeah, it's got to be below that. Anything. So, that's my question. Do you think they're keeping that trailer that cold throughout the rest of the filming of the season?
Do you really think it matters?
Yeah. This is where honestly, I stop looking too close at it.
What's that?
Stop looking too close at it.
Oh, right? No, I'm just, and yeah. I'm not. Yeah, I was just curious. I'm really not that worried about it. I just thought.
Oh, I was wondering if it was just a piece of plexiglass or something.
Yeah, it could be. I guess. I mean, I was just no. It just.
Oh, I see what you mean. Is actually for the prop. For
yeah.
The set.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
No. Yeah, I'm not talking about. I'm not talking. I don't mean in real. In the trailer park boys world. I'm talking about the. Yeah, I'm talking about the set.
Yeah. So honestly, getting a, you know. Fake ice machine, not even a fake ice, but like an ice machine that would cover that area is not going to be very expensive. And it's just gel underneath that they pipe through underneath. It's not very expensive. They could easily eat that cost for, you know, however many days of shooting that they're going to do on that ice surface. Not expensive at all.
Right.
No, I would also agree that it's probably not, well, I would think it's probably not necessarily true ice because I was looking at the breath, because whenever anyone's in that trailer, they're you can see the breath coming out of their mouth, and to me, that looks like After Effects.
That I was so, could not quite tell if it was the size of screen I was watching it on, at the time because I was at a computer with Evernote with notes open and marking where to do clips. So it was like kind of a condensed window. And I was wondering if it was a byproduct of that, or that's interesting that you said that as well. So now, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching it on Netflix streaming on my 40, whatever, six right. inch television from across, you know, from 8 feet away. But it's at 720, so who knows what kind of resolution I'm really getting over the streaming. So, but to me, just it was too regular. That didn't quite seem like if they were actually in a sub freezing room, it wouldn't be quite that necessarily visible.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could go either way, but I would put my money on fake.
Yeah. And even when they had the broken ice last episode, it really didn't look like broken ice.
Well, even if that particular scene was, I remember it being a tight camera angle, so it didn't need to be a big piece of ice.
True that.
Yeah. Especially when it was chipping out orange. Yeah, it was even tighter. Yeah,
it would probably, like to Quinn's point, it was probably much more expensive to keep that whole thing at sub-frozen temperatures than to do something else.
I think it was the breath that put the idea in my head, and then now that you kind of saw the same thing in a different situation, that's really all that made me think of that. So
the only reason that I think that it's actually real ice, not that the whole trailer is that cold, but that they've actually put in real ice, is that the way some of them walk over it and stuff, it looks like they're walking on ice.
Yeah.
And it might be good acting.
It could be good acting because I'm sure they've all grown up walking on ice at one point, especially if they are into hockey. I mean, you and I have.
Yep.
We could probably fake it if we tried.
I probably could, yep.
Yeah. So, okay. Did not mean to belabor that too long. That was a question I thought of if I was in an interview, I might have asked, but I don't think I would have thought of it until watching it for notes. So I would have missed that opportunity myself. So back at the Dirty Dancer, they're filming a commercial.
Okay. This is the point where I think Matt is going to be real pissed. Just putting it out there right now.
Disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me show you. She didn't actually show.
Yeah. Let me show you and then cut the camera over to here while she's... I was disappointed too, but not as disappointed as you, I bet.
Well, I knew there was no way that was going to be shown. I was surprised though. And Quint, got to hand it to you. Way back when we fired the show back up again and we said, what do we want to see in season 8? You said, I want to see tits. And I was like, that. There's no way they're going to do that. They never did it before. They're not going to do that. That's just a type of humor they don't do. Well, I was wrong. But you can have them.
Yeah, we got the Netflix influence here.
What's that?
I said we got the Netflix influence here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, I wrote titties, and it got auto-corrected to kitties.
That's actually highly ironic. To the E to the S, that's titties.
Yeah, it's completely ironic for this particular... I mean, for all kinds of... Yeah, whatever. But it was funny to me. Yeah. They weren't the best titties.
But it's a start.
The smaller pair were okay. The larger pair were just unfortunately attached to a larger woman than I prefer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But, hey, it's a start. I did not expect it. I just didn't... Not that they're trying to keep any sense of a rating or even a family show or anything like that. I just did, that was the type of humor I didn't think they'd write in. Not that it was funny or not funny, but so I was quite surprised.
I was surprised too, especially since they in this season they've had multiple opportunities to pull this card.
That is a good point.
They haven't used it yet. Yep. And to just use it in this particular sort of almost a throwaway scene, really.
Yeah.
Was kind of, it was just kind of an interesting choice to use it there. But, you know, not on TV anymore, folks.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
Great big dirty milkers.
I wish they would have shown hers.
Eating Girl Scout cookies or something? What's all that noise?
Nope.
No. You're not going to tell me what,
are you? I'm not going to tell you.
Burrito.
Oh, okay.
Baby.
Oh, it was tinfoil?
Mm-hmm.
I think Dave's right. I think the low register is getting wiped out of Skype because it sounded like plastic.
Nope.
Okay. Well, back at Jen, I'll play a clip so you have some time to eat here. Back at Jim's trailer, Jim interrupts. Oh, actually, it's not a very long clip. I'm sorry. He interrupts Randy in the bathroom with a line that will ring in my head and haunt me forever.
You were shaving your ball sack, weren't you?
That's right. Yep. And Randy's response to this, which is followed with another clip, is to grab and shotgun a beer. And here's his verbal response to Jim.
Yeah, the first burp wasn't that funny. The fourth one was really funny.
Yeah, right. You're right, yep. And the uhs between it.
Yeah.
He shotguns beer well.
Yes, he does. Well, we've seen that on SwearNet a couple times. I almost said Skynet. So on SwearNet a couple times.
That's true.
But Randy does admit to having sex with a woman, or at least with Donna the night before. No, he does say a woman, but we all know it's Donna. And he storms out. And we go back to the ice rink trailer. And Trinity is asking Ricky about his thoughts on Jacob.
Wait, one thing before we go there.
Mm-hmm.
The snakes and ladders with shots that Jim was playing was fucking awesome.
How does that work?
Shots and ladders.
Well, so I call it snakes and ladders. But Ulrika mentioned, when we were watching, it said shoots and ladders. Shoots and shots, shots and ladders, got it.
Yeah, in the U.S. it's shoots and ladders. Everywhere else it's snakes and ladders.
But how does that work? Has anyone ever played that?
Not with the shots, no.
No, shots.
I mean,
no.
I know. Yeah, not shoots and ladders. I meant with the shots, yes.
Well, no. I imagine it's much more fun to land on the shoots.
I guess you put them on the spaces where, like, those things start and end, and that's the only way I could think of it. I didn't think about it much.
I just assumed every time you get to slide down a chute, you had to take a shot.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, not for me, though. I don't have good luck at board games, and I'm not good at hard liquor.
It would be cool for everyone playing with you.
Oh, God. Eesh. Yeah, that's true. Well, I'll have to think about that.
You and hard liquor is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, not for the next 48 hours after, though. Holy shit. So Ricky is actually... So, like I said, back at the ice rink, Trinity's asking Ricky his thoughts on Jacob, and he's actually kind of warming up to the idea, mainly because in his mind, or in his opinion, he manned up and took the blame for everything that... Ricky and Julian had done, right. If I remember
is
right.
Are Corey and Jacob in jail right now? Is that what's going on? For the thing that happened last episode or whatever?
No, yes. Corey's not, because Corey was turning on the water on and off, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. I was getting confused about the bear costumes in season 9. I jumped ahead.
No, I think, I really, really enjoy any of the times they do the Ricky and Trinity father-daughter talks. It's always like... Ricky tries so damn hard and fucks things up so damn bad.
Yeah.
But he does try hard.
He does try, and he's very earnest about his attempts. So Julian comes in, interrupts. He needs Ricky's help for a job. Ricky can. He's, again, being, in his mind, responsible. He's retired. He's about to be a grandfather. But Julian plays up the whole, don't you want your grandchild to grow up in Sunnyvale card.
Yeah.
Which gets Ricky to agree.
Under one condition.
What was the condition?
Oh, Ricky will help if they get high as fuck all day, like they used to. That was
How did I not put that here?
Seems to be counterproductive, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I'll help you if you do not do the thing that you wanted to do and just sit around with me.
That's true. Yeah, I skipped right over that because I have now outside. They're sitting in car seats, and Ricky and Julian are taking honey oil tokes with Orangey.
Yep.
And Bubbles, of all people, confronts them in this spectacular clip.
So you three are just sitting out here getting baked, are you? Well, guess what?
Guess what?
What?
No, what do you want us to guess?
What?
What happened there?
Holy fuck, you guys are baked.
That was pure Mike Smith on that last line.
Yeah. And I love the fact that Bubba says you three because Angie is there.
Yes, right. That was great too. I think we all had that note.
Yep.
Right, yeah, are way fucked up.
Yep. And Bubbles is getting involved because he needs the boys to take him to the laundry to wash his crab-infested sheets, and also needs them to help him get his 22 bottles of crab shampoo. So they, once they're in the car, they agree to go get the crab shampoo if Bubbles takes a toke of the honey oil with them.
Oh,
and Bubbles High is just hilarious.
We haven't seen Bubbles High in a long time, and I love it.
It seems like he hasn't gotten high in a long time because he just takes one toke, and he is this, long gone.
Yep.
Yeah. Have you ever smoked the good honey oil?
No, but Bubbles lives with these guys. He's got to get high on a regular basis.
Okay.
It would destroy me, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't do it as often as the other two. And so Ricky's shit is super strong. So,
yeah.
Well, so here's the thing. Normally you make oil out of shake, which is like the lesser powerful stuff that comes off the plants, like the leaves and the stuff that don't really have as much concentration of THC as the really insides of the buds, right? These guys are making oil out of the stuff that is really powerful, which just concentrates it. That's good stuff. Anyway, continue.
Okay.
That was just a trip down memory lane.
Gotcha.
With the flashbacks.
Yeah. Well, now in the show, we go back to the park, and Randy runs into Donald and possibly one of the most creepy, skin-crawling scenes with Donald so far, and I have that clip.
Hey, Don.
Ah, hey! You made love recently. You dirty fucker.
Oh. Yeah.
Why?
Nothing else I need to say about that one. So, okay, Randy warns Donald about the crabs and says that since they work together, he may get them. But I'm not even going to explore the whole Donald-Donna thing unless you guys...
Nope.
No, okay.
Well...
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I just wanted to comment that Donald is still playing this game that he doesn't know what his sister gets up to.
Right.
And Randy is still buying it.
Yes.
End of comment.
I get it. It's creepy as fuck. Yeah. And the thing is, I think the weird part for me is, like, I find that the Donna side of things is way more honest about stuff than than the Donald side, because Donald is just, fuck, he's creepy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Donna's actually, in her way, a much more likable character.
Oh, yeah. Right? Anyway.
So, yeah. I don't have any other notes on that.
Well, we do find out the source of the crabs.
What?
It's Donna.
Oh, right. Okay.
Donald, right?
I guess, sure.
Well, no, because he says that he's had them before, but he never treats them.
But he meditates them away.
It's all good.
Come on, man.
It's all good. So we found the source of the crabs, which means everyone with crabs, a.k.a. Steve Rogers, where did they get them from?
Him.
Yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, thanks for making that point.
You're welcome.
We're all the better for that.
Oh, did you get a mental image?
I did now.
Good.
So, burrito, huh?
Yeah.
Over to T visiting J-Rock in jail.
This was fun.
Yeah, J-Rock's main concern is that this whole crab Horrorgeddon thing is giving a bad image to the Rock Vodka brand.
Yeah, with the videos about crabs and...
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, I forgot that we didn't mention the video that they were filming was dude say that they don't have crabs, but it's like, what's that phrase? It's that Shakespeare phrase. We think thou'st protest too much or something. It's like the more they talk about how it doesn't have crabs, the less convincing it gets.
Right. Yep.
Methinks thou dost protest too much.
That one. Yeah. Yeah.
The one.
Or like in Young, what is it? No, Young. It's Yellowbeard. When they're conscripting all the people to get on the ship, I'm like, yes, come sail upon our modern rat-free, leak-proof ship.
Right, yeah. Yeah. The hug that they have in jail is just fucking hilarious.
That is great. That is good.
The thing that struck me about this scene, aside, I mean, it was a great scene dialogue-wise and everything, but the lighting. Because usually they're doing shots outside, and, you know, you got to deal with outside lighting. You can, you know, model it as best you can. But in the prison cell, which may or may not be a set, it may actually be a real prison cell. I don't know. But just J-Rock had a perfect backlight and perfect key three-point lighting on. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, they get inside a building, and now they can do real lighting. Yeah,
right.
All right.
Nice.
So after that visit, we go jump over to the laundromat, and Bubbles is about to wash his sheets, but there's like kids running back and forth, and somehow along the way the sheet gets pulled right over his head and he just starts flipping out.
Oh yeah.
Begging for people to help undress him, or to just undress him.
Right. Yep. And he's high as fuck, of course.
Yeah. So inside the shipmobile, there's an argument about who should go get the crab shampoo. Julian is the one who ends up going in. He runs into the same hot blonde pharmacist and leaves as well.
I'm sure we've seen this before, but for some reason it just struck me that I hadn't maybe noticed it before. But of course, the shipmobile has an 8-track player.
Oh, I never noticed. I didn't even notice this one.
Oh, God, I didn't notice it.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yep.
That is awesome. That is
awesome.
And one that's, it's not a in dash one, I'm assuming. It's one that's bolted to the bottom like everyone else's.
No, was. I think it's in dash. I think it's
was it in dash? Oh,
the original, the OEM one. So even got an 8-track jammed in there, not doing anything.
It's a Star Wars soundtrack. Dun, 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 tick, tick, tick.
Dun, dun, dun. Are you kidding? This is a 1975 New Yorker. There is no 8-track in there later than 1975.
That's true. That is true. Oh, man.
So this is another thing, and again, right back to basically a repeat of what we just said about Bubbles. We haven't seen JP high in a long time either.
True.
Julian true. High yep. in a long time either, and it's fun.
We also haven't seen Ricky high enough to be reaching out of the sunroof squishing clouds either.
Is that a Kids in the Hall callback?
I don't know.
It oh, that's be. Funny.
Squish your head, squish your head, squeeze your head, squeeze your head.
Yeah, because it's just they're going squish, squish, saying the word squish. So could be. I did think of that when I saw it as well. So basically at this point, Julian forces Ricky to go get the shampoo, and Ricky does what he always does, gets it his own way. And I was so freaking happy to see for the first time since their return, a security cam footage scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually have the whole clip of Ricky inside the pharmacy right here, and then we'll talk about it.
Everybody put up their fucking hands and freeze! Hello? I'm not here to hurt anybody. I want some fucking crab shampoo and some of those pills to help make your penis get bigger. Boom!
Penis?
Oh, fuck. You become a people's doctor. You don't know what a penis is. Move, move. Hurry the fuck up, Quincy.
Here's your box of shampoo.
And your pills to make your penis get bigger. Look, we understand if you're embarrassed to buy this stuff. Lots of people are. Just don't hurt us.
Embarrassed? I don't get embarrassed. The shampoo's for my friends and the pills are for my fucking daughter, you lab coat dummy.
Just take that.
Don't fucking move.
So, first and foremost, that loud sound that starts that clip is Ricky throwing his body fully into a locked door.
Right. into the exit door that doesn't open for him.
Yep. This voice is muffled because he's wearing a gas mask. Next, he tells everyone to freeze, but there's no one there.
Are you kidding?
And then he gets to the counter, and there's just so much right with this scene. Crab shampoo, pills to make your penis bigger. How the fuck do you become a people's doctor? Calls the pharmacist Quincy of all people.
Oh, God.
That's a reference I'd never been able to write in 1,000 years.
Nope.
I love that. I love the fact. I wish it was all on the security cam, but I was happy with what we got. Especially when he threw himself into the locked door.
Oh.
Well, that and he walked in, and the security cam clearly had a full picture of him, and then he put on the mask.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. He was, like, ducking his head down while he walked in and then put it on because he didn't want to look conspicuous outside.
Yeah,
I don't know. And then the whole fact that the hot pharmacist at the end puts on this, like, giant jug of crab away or crab out on top of the box, it's just... I don't know where she was going with that, but...
She was very, you know, sympathetic.
Yeah. Give the man what he wants. He's in dire need.
He was in dire need, yeah.
Yes.
She just didn't want to get shot.
Yeah.
So going back just a touch, when Julian came into the pharmacy, everything around him was blurred out.
That was the same when Bubbles went in the beginning.
Oh, was it? I didn't notice it with Bubbles. So, yeah, but it's like they just drew a mat around Julian and everything around it, they just put a blur filter on.
Oh, Christ, I know what that's like.
Yeah, right.
But they didn't do it with Ricky?
I didn't notice it with Ricky.
Oh, okay.
Probably because there was more shit going on.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But yeah, when Bubbles did it in the beginning, too, it was like he was walking through the shelves and everything on the shelves was blurred out.
Oh, God.
That's an editing nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... And we talked to the guy that probably had to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
So they're back outside. The cops come rolling in, but they go right past the shitmobile. They're actually on the way to the laundromat to arrest Bubbles from his flip out.
Right.
So Ricky and Julian come back to the police station to bail Bubbles out or to pick him up. Bubbles has community service coming up. He needs to talk to kids about the dangers of using drugs. This is great foreshadowing because I clearly remember what this leads to.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
But
the funny part of this is that Ricky knows all the jail guards.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
he's calling them up by name and saying hi. It's fucking like, oh man, that's just fucking awesome.
Yep. Yeah, he was. Yep. On the plus side of all this, Ricky did get Bubble shampoo. And right. Bubbles
way more than he needed.
Way more than he needed. He's checking out the shampoo and the pills and everything in the box. And we have Bubbles comes up with a question or two here.
What's all this other stuff?
Oh, I picked up some pills to help Trinity's penis get grown better.
Or what?
The penis. That's what they call the baby when it's in the stomach before it gets born.
Penis? Ricky, these are penis pills. There's like $5,000 worth of cock stiffeners there.
What? Those pharmacy fucking idiots.
Oh, wait a second. That means you stole the fucking stuff, too. Oh, my God, boys. Get me the fuck home right now before I end up back in there because of you two.
You just saved the day, buddy.
How?
By fucking up.
Now, I gotta just call a little bit of a time out. This is where I sent you the quote yesterday. Ulrika admits the show makes her laugh.
Okay.
The line was $5,000 worth of cock stiffeners there. And that was just fucking, that did it. She was
that
just
made her laugh? Wow. Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. Like,
really? That's what makes you laugh? She's like, that was funny. It was delivered. That was fucking hilarious. I'm like, okay, good. Good to know.
Awesome. Good. We can all watch Trailer Park, except Melissa. We can watch Trailer Park Boys together in October.
Well,
she has to go sit in another room and be quiet.
I'm just going to say, we have to do something, you know, where we exclude her.
I mean, aw.
Wouldn't be polite not to, right?
What?
I think I listened to too much Ricky-isms.
I guess, yeah. That's not even a Ricky-ism. Oh. That's just being mean.
That's a Quintism.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Oh, whatever.
So they return to the park. Julian goes to the gym with a present. It's a box of the penis pills.
Yep.
And George was outside filming all this. Probably more on that later, but I don't remember.
So the one thing where Julian and George are talking here that stood out to me is that soft piano music in the background.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was like they were trying to have a moment, and it was just creepy.
It is weird whenever they try to do those like moments with music in this show.
Yeah,
either the acting and the writing has the moment or not, you know, and the music either, it's like it comes in overbearing sometimes.
But I think this was intentionally supposed to be that overbearing.
Well, right. I think they do that on purpose, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just threw that extra creepiness into this whole thing. Because Julian getting Jim hard on pills is just...
Ugh.
After everything we know about those two, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, thank you. Anyway, so where was I?
Ricky Zamboni.
Ricky Zamboni.
Oh.
Yes, at the rink. Lucy does stop by to see Ricky.
Yep. And she's in a really tight dress.
I don't remember the dress, but I'll take her word for it.
Oh, I do. She's looking pretty good.
So they do have a little bit of a conversation. It leads up to when Ricky pulls out a picture of the three of them from like a couple years ago. Let me play the clip, and then they got more on that after this.
I love that picture of us.
Me too.
It's sweet that you were thinking about us, and I was thinking about you, and...
I was thinking about you.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do you think about it exactly?
Well, I was kind of thinking that since you're with George, and you're probably not getting banged, right? And I'm not with anybody, and don't really want to bang anybody but you, that maybe we could become friends with the Benedicts.
Who are the Benedicts?
You know, those people you become friends with if you want to bang each other with no things attached. Friends with the Benedicts.
Right.
I love Lucy's delivery on those lines.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there have been movies like rom-coms in the last several years called No Strings Attached and Friends with Benefits.
Right.
It would be awesome to make spoofs on that called Friends with the Benedicts and No Things Attached.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So after this, we go back over to Barb's trailer.
Wait.
Okay.
After this, we find out that the Zamboni even has a door to go back into the...
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Zamboni door.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, that was fucking awesome.
I did forget.
Like, that is some serious engineering there.
That is engineering.
That's what I'm saying. The ice level, the exact level of the Zamboni door, or I guess he probably cut the door after he made the rink, or I don't know what. Either way, he's losing a lot of power sending all that air through that Zamboni door.
This
is also the guy who spackled around things mounted on the wall when he put the drywall up. So it's like, how does he manage this?
Yeah,
I don't care. This was awesome.
And the whole thing. And the other thing I noticed is in the beginning when he's just spraying water around, filling it up, there's that, goose on the wall duck. Or whatever that he sprays a duck or whatever, and then there's something else on another part of the wall, and then later in the show, once the several frozen and he got the rink set up, he's brought the kids in, all that shit on the wall has like wire mesh netting around it, so like they won't hurt it or hurt themselves when they hit it. Didn't notice that till the second time I watched it. It was great.
Again, the art department doing a bang up job.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's, the Zamboni scooting itself away under that door was just perfect.
Oh, yeah. No, I forgot. I did forget about that. That was
Quinn, I'm just waiting for you to make a Zamboni out of a Roomba.
Yeah, there you go. Consider it done.
Apple does not yet have any ice to work with, so we'll have to...
Right. Hey, what's happening in that new spaceship HQ? We need an ice room.
Yep. Yeah, maybe they'll let me have like an Olympic size ice rink.
Oh, there you go. Surely you need one for that work. I can't see how you got by this far without it.
Right. How do we know that? Do we know that a phone works? It's in an ice rink.
Exactly. Yes. You know how many times I've made calls from hockey games and they're shit.
You know how many times I make calls while I'm skating? And it sucked?
Exactly. Right. Just makes perfect sense.
Right. I'll just show them Trailer Park Boys as part of my pitch.
There you go. If that doesn't work, nothing will.
Right.
I think that's a true statement.
All right. So back at Barb's trailer, Julian stops by. Barb is still looking for that special someone, this time through online dating. Julian talks her out of it, once again, probably saying too much.
Yeah, yeah, he was really leading her on in this one.
Yeah, he has a problem with that. I think he really does have honest intentions to help her, but she takes it the complete wrong, a different way than he's intending it.
So he's basically telling her she's too good for online dating. and someone, she'll find a good guy, right? But he's not intending to sleep with her. And now, is this the first point that we realize that he really isn't sleeping with her? Or has that been shown before?
I don't know.
I think it's been in question up until now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Also, Julian. What's wrong with online dating?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you only get creeps for online dating, right?
Well, okay. But the creeps make out pretty good.
I guess.
Birds of a feather, man.
Fucking slimy bastards on online dating. Ew.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry.
That's no Rickyism again. I just want to point that out. Is it not because of the Rickyisms? It's because you're a dick.
Yeah.
And not even online dating.
I am a dick. Yeah, he really does. Now, so the question that you asked, Dave, is this the first proof that we had that he's not sleeping with her? Or is he sleeping with her and just not, like, is it just a piece on the side for him?
It's a good question. The way I read the scene is that he's not sleeping with her.
Yeah, I think in Barb's mental state, and we've seen this in the past, if she's sleeping with him, there's no side pieces for Barb. If she's sleeping with him, it's to her, it's a relationship. So she wouldn't be checking out online dating if they were sleeping together.
Yeah, you're right. I'll back up from that one for sure. You're right.
I never thought they were sleeping together. Maybe it's because I had just believed what Julian said and thought the joke was more that no one else believed him. Even though he wasn't. That's how I've been taking it this season.
That makes sense.
That's
kind of what they're going for. But I think until this point, I wasn't sure.
One way or the other.
I see what you're saying.
Because didn't we go through this whole thing when Ricky was sleeping with her?
Yeah, we did. We went through all the same jokes.
That's true, yeah.
Similar jokes, but similar. Yeah. But he was actually sleeping with her.
He was. And she was
bringing him lunch. And they got blown up in a bubble bath, which was awesome.
And the end of this scene is just fucking hilarious.
Oh yes! After everything they've gone through today, after Julian has finally come down, Barb wants to smoke some of Ricky's honey oil with him.
Yep. Julian's just like, "Fuck it, I give up."
Yep. And that is it. Yep. That is the scene, and that is the episode.
Good episode, like you said.
And it was a good pair.
Yeah.
Of episodes.
Yes. Yeah, I think it worked well. I think I really kind of review this story as a two-parter.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, dealing with the aftermath of the Horrorgeddon. Yeah. So, really, yeah, it was. And again, it's some different stuff that we haven't seen in a long time, or we haven't seen period from this particular director, which was fun. I mean, you know, doing the whole Ricky and Julian getting stoned as fuck is funny.
And the Scaredy Cam, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed these.
Did we have any interviews this episode or both of these episodes?
I can't recall.
Yeah.
No. We didn't.
Remember any. That's an interesting. It's interesting, A, that we didn't, and B, that we didn't actually notice it.
That's I was just thinking that. I was like, then it must have not felt that out of place.
Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of scenes that were similar-ish, right? I mean, there was a couple of scenes around the shooting of the video that were almost interview-ish, and then the J-Rock scene in jail was almost interview-ish. Sort of expositional, at least.
They're expositional, but they weren't talking to camera.
Right. No, that's what I mean. They were expositional, and they were doing the same thing that we usually get from the interviews, but they weren't... Yeah, you're right. They weren't talking to the camera at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's one effect of this director, I guess.
Yeah.
Or
maybe it's the effect of the writers. Who knows? You know? And that's the thing. When we talked to Jeremy, you know, he was saying that the editing is mostly him and the three boys, and with some notes from producers. Mm-hmm. But you know, I get the sense that the individual directors don't have that much input in the editing.
Probably not.
Yeah. Which is, I think, typical for TV shows, not so typical for movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That is something I'll have to try to keep a conscious eye out for the next set of episodes to see how many interviews we get or don't get.
Yeah.
I'll try to remember that. Well, other than that, that is it. That's all I got.
All right.
I mean, I don't really have anything to add on this one either.
Nope. Yeah. We'll be back with the 7th episode, Community Service and a Boner Made with Love, which is one of the greatest titles ever. And we get to see the community service scene, which is, I don't know, I'm not going to say it's going to be one of my all-time favorites or even my favorite of this season, particularly with the reveal of Trinity being pregnant with Trevor's baby and Ricky's reaction being my favorite, but I know we're probably going to have a lot to talk about the community service scene.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode, then. We will be back with that and a lot more to talk about on the next episode.
The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is a NeoZazz.com production and part of the NeoZazz.com Internet Entertainment Network. For more great shows and original entertainment, please visit our website at NeoZazz.com. The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is not endorsed by nor affiliated with TPB Productions or SwearNet Inc. All Trailer Park Boys and SwearNet characters, situations, places, and events are copyright TPP Productions, SwearNet Inc., or their respective trademark or copyright holders. For all the latest Trailer Pod Boys podcast news and releases, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/trailerpodboys.